Our guest is Todd Elmer, head of FX and macro analysis for Asia, and with us here live on the program. And Todd, thanks very much for being with us. So the market and the companies can actually say this, but I would say that the way they're acting, that they're actually screaming at the Fed, you're going too far, too fast, you're missing the story. Just like last year, you went too far on the hold. So I put it to you, is it unfair to say that investors are telling the Fed, policymakers, you're incompetent?
I think that investors have certainly begun to question some of the decisions that we've seen from the Fed over the course of the pandemic. But I don't know that it's a widespread view as of yet that we are on trajectory for what could be characterized as another policy mistake. And I think that's because inflation remains high, and there is kind of the acknowledgement that so long as that is the case, the Fed is probably going to have to continue with its very harsh rhetoric, because it doesn't want to encourage the market to begin pricing in that pivot that at one point was priced in for the end of next year. I don't think there's a lot of expectation that they're going to change course soon, even as we've started to see some rhetoric sneak in that they are acknowledging that they have done a lot of tightening to date.
Yeah, so if no change, of course, soon, where are rates going to top out? Because the last dot plot, we've got a lot of dots hovering just below 5% for 2023 now. Where are we going here?
That's a good question as to whether or not we actually reach that level approaching 5%, because I think that as we move into the winter, into the beginning of next year, we are going to see a very difficult period for the U.S. economy and probably an even more difficult period for many global economies. And I think that will encourage the market to consider the possibility that we won't quite match the most hawkish in terms of Fed expectations. So I think that's really going to be determined over the next several months. We'll have to see what the depth of the economic slowdown is and whether or not the Fed can be successful in terms of avoiding a hard landing.
The Dow, which is made up of some really old and fine companies and kind of cyclical companies, it fell more last month than it did in 2008 when you had a once-in-a-century crisis, a banking and housing crisis. So it shows you that investors think that the Fed is off balance here. And we're used to thinking of the Fed as smoothing things out, you know, cooling when the economy is too hot, warming when it's a little too cool. But now critics are saying that the Fed is actually the tool or the rod stoking volatility.
I think that the Fed has fed into some of the volatility that we're seeing in markets, which of course is kind of at store level. But if you step back, what's really happening is that we're going through a generational shift right now, where we've come from an extended multi-decade period of low interest rates, and we're shifting back towards what might be considered more normal levels on a historic basis. And the fact that that has surfaced some degree of kind of market volatility, and the fact that that is something that traders have had to start to learn to adapt to with some unexpected consequences. I don't think that that should be altogether surprising. And again, I don't think that that really should be seen as the Fed solely bearing responsibility for those developments. I think to some extent this was inevitable as we shifted towards a higher interest rate regime.
We've got the former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers warning of the risk of a global recession increasing. Is that where we're heading here?
Stepping aside from the technical terms, I think it's pretty clear that we are heading towards a slowdown. It's probably going to be particularly pronounced in Europe. We are going to see global economy suffering under the strain of a stronger dollar. I think it'll probably be a bit more shallow in the U.S., where we are still seeing a lot of indications of kind of lingering economic strength, but I think that we will see a slowdown there as well.
And Todd, I just mentioned there a moment ago the strength we're seeing for the Canadian, Aussie and Kiwi against the yen at the moment, one of the few risk-on trades going right now. What's happening in your view?
I think that mainly comes down to the weakness that we're seeing in the Japanese yen, more so than strength in terms of the commodity currencies, which themselves have been vulnerable, just perhaps less so against dollar appreciation. And I think that a lot of the forces that are contributing to yen weakness, macro forces are likely to remain in place. Notably, we aren't seeing any indications that we're going to get a shift in policy from the Bank of Japan anytime soon. And I think that's going to keep the pressure on the yen as global interest rates continue to rise. And it's going to make the Japanese government's life difficult in terms of trying to counter any further weakness to offset the negative impacts on the domestic economy.
With the yield on the two-year at 4.21%, and that's actually down 6 basis points, where does the bond market really offer good value to especially long-term investors, or not necessarily long-term, but even looking to lock in, say, 2 to 5 years at a high interest rate? Where is the sort of crossover period where that looks like good value, Todd?
I think when we think about what yields have done, that there is kind of a lot of momentum in place, and it's not clear to me that we're going to see any kind of shift in terms of that overall trend anytime soon. So my expectation would be more or less across the curve that we are going to see further upward pressure on yields as these macro forces that have been driving them up remain in place.
And where do you see this strong dollar story starting to top out?
It's certainly come a ways, so I don't want to say that the dollar strength is not more mature at this point, but if we look at kind of the global backdrop, one in which the Fed is continuing to tighten and continuing to offer this hawkish message to discourage the market from bringing back down those expectations on the terminal rate, we combine that with the weakness that we're seeing in a lot of other global economies, the fact that risk aversion remains elevated amid concern over potential escalation in the Ukraine war. I don't think that any of these forces that have been pushing us up are going to change for the time being. And I think that we're seeing the positioning is not yet stretched. So there probably is further room for that to run.
So you just answered my question then about whether or not if we get a seasonal rally here, whether it would fail. It seems like you would think that it would just be a bear market rally.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I think that's probably true when we think about kind of a lot of the asset market trends in general. I don't know that I would be very optimistic on equities now at this point either, because I think that, the market was a little more calm at the end of last week because of the Bank of England's intervention, because we didn't get perhaps the fireworks that we might have anticipated around the month and quarter end. But I don't think the underlying developments have changed. And I think that probably spells kind of more volatility moving forward. Maybe not the historic week that we had last week, but it's probably going to be a very difficult trading environment for the time being.
Very quickly, Todd, the British pound taking a severe beating at the moment. When do you see that narrative starting to change?
I think it'll start to change if the government backs down from its plans for the tax cuts and fiscal easing. And I don't think that is going to be politically feasible for the Truss government for the time being. So, I think that there's likelihood that we see that pressure reassert itself on the pound.
Yeah, Liz Truss, the Prime Minister, expressing some dismay about the way she communicated that decision to get rid of the top tax rate. But Todd Elmer, Head of FX and Macro Analyst for InTouch Capital Markets, thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.